Hi, John.
Hey, Alex.
Do you know what I hate?
What's that?
Hot hail.
Hot hail? You hate hot hail?
I liked his performance, but like the whole fake hand thing was kind of stupid. And oh, in the banana stand. Or, oh, no, that's Tony Hale.
It's Tony.
My
yeah,
mistake.
Different Hale.
Yeah, he's pretty foxy, though. We watch Flash Gordon. Hot Hail made me laugh, and I really believe is so important to this film, so you're on the right page and the right frame
yes.
of mind to know what you're getting into, so you can enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
If it didn't flash Hot Hail, if it wasn't so cheesy at the beginning, I would be like all gripey, and like, oh, this is really stupid, and wait like 20 minutes, and then finally start falling for it.
Uh-huh.
But it went, no, fuck you. This is bat shark repellent. This is dumb. This is the silly shit in the universe. Let's go. And thank you. I'm on board. Hot hail.
Yes. Yeah, it is. It is very much the canary in the coal mine of this movie, because this movie opens with this bad sci-fi screen over footage of Earth. And it's like, well,
yeah.
let's add earthquake stuff like that. And yeah, he does damage by pressing a button labeled hot hail. And it hangs out on it. It knows exactly what it's doing.
So rarely do I bring up IMDb trivia this early or at all. But I did some research on this. I actually watched the Life After Flash documentary.
Oh, you did? I just found out it existed like half hour before the show. And I was like, damn it.
I'll try to bring that up a bit, but there's not that much there. The IMDb trivia, someone goes, well, Ming claims he doesn't know the name of the planet, but then his button says earthquake. And it makes me think, is that what people think earthquake means? Like, they know like Earth is like also a term.
Right.
Like, they're not called earthworms because they're from this planet.
Well, that, are they on another planet?
Well, no. But I mean, if they were on Pluto, Pluto would have Earth, you know, like Earth.
That's
like,
what we call it because it's...
Like diatomaceous Earth. It's not, oh yeah, the diatoms of, you know, it's, right. I don't even know if that's the right word. Diatomaceous Earth, is that the right word?
Diatomaceous Earth
okay.
is a thing.
Yeah.
But yeah,
but like Earth is like
diatomaceous Mars dirt.
Like Captain Planet didn't go, fire, water, Earth. Like they're not like planets.
He wasn't planets plural. He was Captain Planet, Earth.
Oh yeah, fair enough. Yeah, so I like that as a trivia thing. Like, ha, got him, earthquake.
Yeah, I did not. Yeah. Wouldn't have thought of that. Technically, I guess, good job, buddy.
No. So, this was your first time watching Flash Gordon.
It was.
In our unofficial series of John's weird 80s movies that he hasn't seen before.
Yeah, my missed out childhood, I guess.
Yes. How did you feel about watching Flash Gordon in the year 2021?
It's amazing.
Okay.
It was so much fun.
Yeah.
It is my favorite Marvel movie.
It is kind of great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very much like I am really unfamiliar with the character of Flash Gordon. Like, I don't know. I know he's a pulp hero, like
yeah.
that kind of thing. And that's about it. But I still get the movie like tells me everything I need to know about him. Like, it's not something where like, well, I don't know Flash Gordon, so I don't really know this. I don't really understand these references or something like that. Doesn't matter. They went like, "Hey, this was like this 50s pulp weird thing. Let's have fun with it." And I'm so much more interested in that world because of that than of some like hyper serious or
oh, yeah.
like, you know, not campy version of that.
In the original, Beyond My Life as the Flash or whatever. What was it called? Life After Flash? That's what I was going to say, but that felt wrong. Like,
yeah.
That felt like a second pass. Like, they probably came up with a better title after, mm-hmm. but apparently they didn't. I don't know anything about the original Flash Gordon either. I've seen one serial once when I was like, I don't know, 10. It was on WPIX.
Is that the one, local? Like the black and white ones with Buster Crab or whatever?
I think that, yeah. It was whatever the ones that would have been, you know, it cost you 4 cents to
sure.
to broadcast it on Saturday. But his original thing is that he's a polo player.
Nice.
I wouldn't have expected that.
Yeah.
Good old American polo player.
Yeah, that really, I think by making him a football player really makes him more of an everyman. Just
yeah.
like, oh.
So here's a question.
He was the best at that event where you have to make the horses dance.
Yeah, dressage.
Dressage, yeah.
yeah
like
yeah.
that's, oh, cool. I don't understand what that is, but when he's a football guy, I'm
yeah.
on board.
Here's a question about polo. Is polo always on horses?
Well, no, sometimes it's in water.
Well, that's where the question comes from. When we say water polo,
mm-hmm.
is that a modification of polo in that, like, is there a polo, a horse polo, and water polo? Or is there polo, which is on horses, and then there's water polo?
Well, there's also bike polo. So I think your horse polo is the mother polo.
That's the standard
yeah.
polo. That's
yeah.
what I thought, but I don't have money. So like anything money related just doesn't like.
It's a weird. I don't understand.
Oh, here, get millions of dollars worth of horses and fucking be white near each other. Mm-hmm. Swing it around a fucking croquet mallet.
But when you put it like that, it sounds great.
Now, croquet, that's a game I can get behind.
Mm-hmm.
So we get introduced to Flash. He's sitting in his car.
Which is just a station wagon.
Yeah, there's. Some of the budgeting in this movie is very confusing.
But I love it because, again, it's Flash is an everyman thing. Like, you don't know who this guy is from Adam unless,
He's an everyman. He's a quarterback of the first or second biggest city in the country.
The New York Jets.
Yeah.
Yeah, but okay. So, yeah. Big time quarterback. New York Jets.
Yeah, like, that's still at least get a livery service to the airport.
Uh-huh.
but it's just more like, I mean, we'll get to it when we get to it. But, like, there's stuff that looks like the best design I've ever seen.
Oh,
like,
yeah. I love the sets and the costumes.
Gorgeous. But then some of it looks like they got it at the dollar store.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this weird. And it's just like, oh, this airport is Flash sitting in a shitty ass car. And he sees Dale, the lead femme fatale in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks like, I don't even know how to, she looks like a toddler that put on mommy's makeup. Like, she's got, like, so much rouge.
Yeah. She's got very cherubic features, and then the makeup is very, very fired out of a gun at her.
It's like Homer's makeup shotgun.
Yeah.
And it is baffling, because, one, it's hard to tell that 80s people are attractive, for the most part, because it's just all curly hair, and it's just this mess. And then you just got she has so much makeup on that I'm sure you could smell it within a few feet of her. Mm-hmm. You're like grandma makeup, where you're just like, oh God, I can smell your foundation.
Right.
And not to shit on her. She's a lovely woman. It just, this movie, the makeup department did her dirty.
Well, like, yeah. Well, I don't know if did her dirty, or if it's trying to be a throwback to like the sort of campy element of it, or making it seem even 50s-y or something like that. But it did seem extreme.
I mean, I guess it's just, it, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think this is a Meghan McCain situation. Where they actively hated her.
So while they're getting flown in their luxury airplane,
because they're on this small, it was a private plane, but I guess it's supposed to be just like a puddle jumper thing. She's a travel agent.
That's right. Yeah.
And because he saw her at the hotel the night before, and asked the maitre d' what her name was. Ming's buttons that he's using to attack the Earth, which I just love that he's basically just me playing SimCity. Where it's like, earthquake.
Hot hail. Yeah.
And then just like, let's just mess with this one small plane. Why not?
Yeah, and the small plane gets some turbulence, and then, which starts with some of the best backgrounds, and the backgrounds in this movie are gorgeous.
Yes.
It's just like this, like, red Kool-Aid that they put, and then just overlaid it over the sky, and it looks gorgeous. The pilots disappear?
Basically, they kind of get raptured out.
Okay, because I was trying to figure out, because also the windows broke. So I'm like, are they trying to say they jumped out of the window? It was just weird. At no point later in the film do they have the power of remote destroying of humans. Because I don't know if you noticed, that power would have come in very handy later in the film. You know, like where the whole film is based around trying to get rid of one human.
Uh-huh. Maybe they just zapped them away. All I know is that they are no longer in the plane.
Yeah. So the plane starts to crash, and Flash, thankfully, had been taking flying lessons, mm-hmm. which is going to be a runner throughout the movie. And he manages to crash into the scientatorium of Dr. Zarkov and his fat guy friend.
Yeah, basically his greenhouse.
So he's got a assistant that he's trying to get on a rocket with him to fight off the hot hail throwing aliens. And the assistant, in true fat guy in the 80s fashion, is a coward and does not want to go.
Yes, but Hans Zarkov is, everyone at NASA has laughed at him, whatever, but he knows exactly what's going on, that this is an attack. And he has built a giant rocket in his greenhouse that Munson wants no part, like, Munson's been a part of this, but doesn't want to get on the rocket because he needs someone else to, like, push a pedal.
That's exactly it, yeah.
Yeah, which is just, like, the dumbest rocket design. Like, I don't understand it.
Also, just bring a brick.
Yeah, but it's hilarious that that's the issue.
There's a great scene this part where they're establishing him. They have a news report on, and the reporter is, I'm very much trying to like encapsulate what he said, but he's like, Dr. Zarkov, who his theories are dog shit, and NASA laughed at him for being a dog shit piece of shit. It is so funny because it's just exposition and news, but it's like, why is the news reporting on a disgraced scientist? Right. And it's so funny.
I love exposition TV. And yeah. That's a great example because it's also just like on in one of their consoles that they're working on.
Yeah. Here's another fun thing that happens here. And Flash's power level, I think, is great. And Dale's as well over the course of the film. So they crash and Zarkov's like, oh, yeah, there's a telephone over in my rocket over there. I mean, telephone operating room. He starts to take off and he tries to push Flash out. Flash tries to trick him by knocking the gun out of his hand. It's all subterfuge. But the professional football player, the quarterback for a major metropolitan team, can't take a fucking middle-aged scientist quickly enough that they have to take off. Which, again, I'm not questioning the movie. It's fine. But it is so fucking funny that that's the way they get on the thing is, oh, yeah, our hero, who later has to take down Space Hitler, can't fucking knock out a scientist. Can't knock out T'Pol.
Well, that's one of my – that's something I love about this movie is that, like, he apparently needs that football like Popeye needs a spinach.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For one of the – because there's a great action scene later that just is so silly.
It's one of the best scenes that's ever happened.
Then later he overcomes it. So at the beginning, it's like he doesn't have his crutch. He doesn't have his blankie of a football-shaped object to give him power.
So they take it off on their rocket, which looks, although penis-like, less Hitachi-like than Jeff Bezos's rocket from recently, which is impressive.
It's timely. But it's still kind of – it's got that ridiculous old style – rocket feel to it.
Yeah, I love that it's like yellow. I thought of you during the scene where they go into space and they get sucked into the black hole kind of thing. You can see the transparent box around the thing. Yes. And I was thinking about last week when I forget what special effect it was. You were talking about you could see the artifact they rendered.
Yeah.
And this is like, it's almost like they put an extra piece of acetate on there to make sure you saw it.
Well, I mean, this is not. It seems like it was almost done on purpose because this was around the era of
Empire Strikes Back.
Empire Strikes Back, yeah, exactly.
Same year,
yeah. And so, like, you can do it better than that. And it seemed like they went like, well, let's have some fun with it and let's have the let's show you the strings, as it were, as part of the we're not actually going to have something so obvious as a hanging Buck Rogers or hanging Flash Gordon spaceship. But let's do the Hollywood version of that.
I wonder, because there's some, we're going to get to the first one of this very soon. Some really cheesy special effects. I'm like, I bet you they did that on purpose. Just to, because recent Doctor Who, they don't do it often, but sometimes they'll kind of wink at how bad the special effects used to be. I mean, they're not great now, but like they used to be just, I mean, between the two of us, we could have made a lot. And sometimes they'll do like a little wink in the background of like how shitty they used to look. And yeah, something like that. But, what I love is, so they get through the black hole, 18 minutes. That is some quick-ass storytelling. Okay, I know exactly who Flash is. I know who Dale is. I don't know if we know Ming's name yet, but you know there's an evil guy that, like, likes blowing up planets.
Yeah.
18 minutes, we're already off Earth through a wormhole about to get shit done. That is fucking, let's go. Let's not dick around. I don't care where he was. I don't care what kind of weird Epstein retreat he was on. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's... that could be taken as a criticism of this movie that there, there's really not much to either Flash or Dale, but there doesn't need to be.
Yeah, no,
this is a goofy adventure about, like, if you know Flash Gordon or something, like, you're fine, whatever. But just like, oh, this hunky guy, he seems nice, and she seems fine too. I know that they're the good guys. Let's just get in space and get on this adventure.
Corn-fed American hero.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what else? Yeah, I don't know. He's an archaeologist. He's got a fedora done. There's his whole character. Yeah, he's a farm boy.
Yeah.
That's his whole thing. I mean, other than the cutscenes where we find out his nickname is Wormy. But the fact is, he's a farm boy. He goes up to space. He fights Darth Vader. Like, these are simple, just get it. And I love that. Some of the complaints about this movie are things like that. Like, Flash doesn't have, like, a deep thing or, like, What's the actor's name that plays Flash Gordon? Sam J. Jones.
Yeah.
He wasn't that good. And it's like, no. He was perfect.
Yes.
He hit every note exactly the way this movie needs to hit it. Like, at least physical, because apparently he was overdubbed in some shit.
Well, yeah, the majority of it is him. But there were some ADR things that needed to happen, but there was a falling out between him and Dino De Laurentiis.
Well, yeah, they broke for Christmas break.
Mm-hmm.
very much a lot of the movie still to work on. Him and Dino weren't getting along, and Dino was like, fuck it, we'll just get stand-ins for a lot of the shots.
Well, it was only a few shots and all the ADR and stuff that needed to be done, so it was a different guy. But they had, according to the director of the film anyway, that they had a fair amount completed.
Oh, you know, there was a ton, but I mean, there was still work to be done. Yeah, it's not like they were at the last stages of, right. Oh, we just need to pick up here and there, like... They had to reshoot, like they had to shoot around the fact that their star wasn't there anymore.
From what I understand, it was mostly the vulture people stuff.
Yeah, which I mean, hopefully that led to having more Brian Blessed. Mm-hmm. Which I mean, we'll get to Brian Blessed when he shows up. All right, so they get sucked through the wormhole into Ming's domain, and still, all right, hot hail, cheesy special effects. This still could just be a shitty movie that had a funny thing in the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing that seals it is in order to restrain Flash. They shoot metal hands at him.
Yes.
And I'm like, this is the greatest movie that's ever been made.
It took me a second to figure out what they were. It wasn't until it was choking him that I figured out that, oh, they're hands. But yeah, I was already pretty on board, but that's amazing. And I think just another reason to have, I mean, a good argument for Flash being just so basic mayo ass, is that this is all a fantastical world that you're just an idiot, you know, going through, whatever. Like, I don't care about you that much. This world is so fantastic.
So this goes to I point this out later. Now I'm not complaining about Sam Jones' performance in this at all. Mm-hmm. But I was imagining a different universe in which obviously it can't happen in 1980, of how great this movie would be with Bruce Campbell. Because all of his movies, at least the Evil Dead stuff, is he's just a schlub.
Yeah.
He's got no real special talents, just thrown into a what the fuck situation. And I was just imagining this. I mean, obviously it wouldn't be as corn fed and, you know, whatever, but it
you could do it. But yeah, I mean, so much of the Evil Dead and stuff is that Ash is an idiot, makes things worse.
Yeah.
Whereas that's not so much Flash, but at the same time, I see exactly what you're saying. Yeah, it's just that, yeah, he's just a guy. I mean, like we said, Flash is more than a guy, but I don't need, you know, he doesn't have some mysterious military past or bad relationship with his father or something. It's just his dad drops him off at the airport and he goes on an adventure.
Weirdly enough, Sam J. Jones does have a weird military past and a bad relationship with his father.
Oh,
so,
awesome.
If you watch that documentary, they have this great fisheye lens shot of them walking into Ming's like kind of throne room area.
Yeah. That's the POV of that robot thing, right? Yeah.
And you see the lizard man in the background, which you texted me about, which this is where they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on gorgeous costuming.
Yeah.
Those lizard man masks are cheaper than cheap.
Yeah.
I mean,
I am not going to defend these as like, this was some kind of, this seems like it was some kind of a thought out thing. These are garbage. They look so bad.
But they're so bad that it had to have been purposeful.
I think like, from a distance, you can get away with it. But later when you see like the close-ups.
But they shot close-ups.
I know. That's what's upsetting about
this. That's like that, like the acetate around the rocket ship. It had to be personal. They're worse than like, so John and I are the same age audience. We both grew up in the 80s. In the 70s, people are going to remember these too. They're going to disintegrate by November 15th Halloween masks that you would buy that smelled great, but they're just the worst kind of rubber.
Yeah.
There's just a just the worst hole ever and two slits for your eyes. And that's please walk into traffic.
Right.
These are that quality of just shitty 80s horrible mask. And it's in a very expensive movie for the time. I mean, fantastic. I love them, but there is something going on.
Yeah. Yeah. They make the sleaze stacks look pretty high tech.
Oh yeah. Oh, the sleaze stacks are, I mean, they're Jurassic Park level quality in comparison to this. So they get, they're brought into this big audience chamber and you see the panoply of people. There's vaguely African people. Mm-hmm. There's this guy that sort of looks like Errol Flynn. There's bird people. And then out comes the emperor himself, Anton Xander Lefay. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Ming the Merciless. Yeah. Who is Max von Sydow. I mean, it's not like it took much for me to love him more.
Yeah.
But between him and Brian Blessed, it's like radiating pure joy on me every time they talked. just everything is a Brobdingnagian speech.
Yes.
It is so good.
He's fantastic. He looks amazing. I mean, obviously this character is named Ming the Merciless.
Yes.
And it was, you know, at a time when they're like, the scariest thing I could imagine would be space Chinese.
Yeah.
But they don't, and it's still the 80s, so it's not like things are a lot better there, but it's just Max von Sydow.
Yeah.
With just a, you know, looking like Anton LaVey.
Yeah.
And I think I'm not condoning it for like, hey, way to be less racist about it. But I'm just saying thanks for not leaning into it.
Well, so here's my question, though. Is this light yellow face where is that supposed to be kind of a Fu Manchu type?
Well, I mean, I think that's always how, you know, the pictures I've seen, that's basically how he looks.
Yeah.
So, I think they try to do it kind of like they did, well, not as much, but Mandarin in Iron Man 3, where they, you know, it's Ben Kingsley and they didn't want to make him.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. But I never saw it, so I can't really comment on that.
There's an Iron Man 3?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's the one you probably would like.
That's the one everyone hates.
Well, that's where I thought you can see where, but it's also Shane Black.
It's Shane Black,
I'm assuming he's done movies you like.
Absolutely.
He's done some good movies,
Wonderful movies.
Of the Marvel oeuvre, that's the one that I'm like, yeah, there's a real dumb thing at the end, but other than that, I think the anyway. So Ming looks like Anton Zander LaVey, and we get first introduced to Voltan, played by Brian Blessed, one of the best men that have ever existed. And Timothy Dalton, who is a swashbuckling kind of pirate looking type.
Yeah, for of the tree people.
Yes. Arborist or whatever. So how much do you know about Brian Blessed?
Not that much.
So
he seems like he'd be fun to drink with.
Yes. So he has every story ever.
Uh-huh.
He's got to very close to the summit of Mount Everest in his 70s, I think.
Okay.
He's met the queen like a million times. Mm-hmm. He actually tells a story about the queen asking him about Flash Gordon and making him do the Flash is alive or the Gordon is alive. Yeah. So Stephen Fry used to host QI, which is one of my favorite shows that's ever existed. Every now and again, we'll just wax philosophic about how great Brian Blessed is.
Oh,
but like, he was like a bare knuckle boxer that I think he boxed Gandhi.
Okay.
Like Gandhi.
Yeah.
Like the guy from Gandhi 2 starring Weird Al Yankovic.
Was Gandhi aware of this match when it happened?
Yeah, I think
it was a planned thing. He didn't just bum rush him.
Wait, I want to, sorry. I don't mean to be, I think it's Gandhi or someone as surprising.
I beat the shit out of Mother Teresa.
Oh no, it was the Dalai Lama.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Again, really not that much of a lateral move.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. So, yes, Dalai Lama was into boxing, as was Brian Blessed. Huh. Brian Blessed did some boxing.
That's amazing.
Yes,
I would love to be in a situation where he called me my good lad or something like that.
Yeah,
like even if he was threatening to murder me, I'd still just be tickled pink.
If
that booming British voice was like.
So the thing,
eat shit, my good lad.
Yes, the thing to understand about Brian Blessed too is. Now, I don't know about his outside life, obviously, but from everything I've heard in every interview he gives is Voltan, Brian Blessed isn't acting. That's just the way if you have him in interviews, he will tell a story and then just open that giant monster mouth of his. Like, he looks like one of the guys from Attack on Titan. His mouth is so huge. And just start booming laughing in the middle of, like, he's this insane fake person. Like, in 20 years, well we're not because we live in America, but, like, people are going to be telling these, like legendary Sasquatch-like stories of the things that Brian Blessed did.
Yeah. Brian Blessed seems like what people imagine Teddy Roosevelt was.
Yes. Oh, that is such a good way to put it. Yeah. That is what he comes across as. Apparently his house, like he's got like pet fucking like antelope and shit at his house. Like he's just got like, I think Stephen Fry said he's got 100 and something pets. Like he's a rich fucking weird dude.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, other than the smell, that's gotta be fucking great. Yeah.
Right. Him or the antelopes.
He seems like one of those guys that smells like old timey men.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's that shit that grandpas used to put on in the
80s? Bay Rum?
Oh, no. I was thinking Old Spice.
Old Spice.
I bet you he's got like an Old Spice and like even though he doesn't smoke a pipe, he probably smells like pipe smoke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Somehow he's just sweat naturally.
Like he probably gives like great hugs.
So, yeah. Well, this is just a great way to introduce all the goofy ass characters on this planet, Mongo. And all the different tribes or communities on there. My favorite is that, and I believe it's the princess. Is the princess that has the little person on a chain?
Yes, that is Deep Roy.
Yes, I want. Yeah. I was going to ask because it looks like him.
Yeah.
But there, because I also like that there is this group of little people.
Yes, that is Shallow Roy.
Oh, a different Roy. The whole Roy family.
I hate myself so fucking much.
I love that movie with Jack Black. But her pet is named Fellini.
Yes.
Which is hilarious because Fellini was going to make this movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there was. It never got produced. Oh,
that would have been... Yeah.
It never got produced. Never went anywhere close to production. But it makes me wonder if like Dino De Laurentiis is like, fuck that guy. Name of the little boy, Fellini.
Then it went to
Nicholas Roeg, who did The Man Who Fell to Earth and Don't Look Now, which is a terrifying horror film with Julie Christie and Donald Sutherland that I can't recommend enough. But again, I cannot fathom that guy making this movie.
Yeah.
But the guy that made it at that time had only really done Get Carter.
Yeah.
Which is even more insane that he did this movie, because Get Carter is this grimy, dark bummer of a British crime movie with Michael Caine.
Yeah, Michael Caine. Yeah.
This just hard nosed and mean, and then he went on to do this.
So he says in the documentary, he's like, I was the worst choice for this. I don't know. So then he tells a story about how Dino De Laurentiis, who apparently is like the weirdest dude ever, and I kind of want to watch documentaries about him. He seems amazing. But Dino goes, he's like, Dino, why did you choose me? I'm completely inappropriate for the job. He's like, just look at your face. Look at your face. Literally says, I like your face.
Uh-huh.
Or I like the look of your face. He chose him to helm a $27 million movie in 1980 money, which is $7.4 billion in modern day money, because he liked his face.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Oh, God. Dino De Laurentiis seems... Is there a documentary? Do you know? You seem like the type that
there worked. Might be. I don't know. I did... In reading about this movie, there's a oral history of it, and the director also said that he figured out how to work with Dino De Laurentiis. That basically, like, if he had an idea the night before shooting, he would call Dino and be like, here's my idea, and he'd be like, I think about it. And the next morning, Dino De Laurentiis would call and be like, I have great idea. And it was his idea.
Fantastic.
And because I guess Dino De Laurentiis is very hands-on, or was, I think that also is part of what brought issues between him and Sam Jones. According to Sam Jones, he couldn't buy a new pair of socks without Dino's approval.
No, I mean, he was going to buy some stupid socks.
That's
true. I agree with him.
Yeah.
Look at those things. They're stupid socks. Look at me. I'm a stereotype.
Mamma mia.
Yeah. Mamma mia. That's a spicy racism. But it's cool. I knew Italian, so I'm allowed to say that. Mm-hmm. Best Friend Side Hug is great speech. One of which he's talking about, like, oh, you know, you Earthlings hurling your bodies out into the universe with no idea what's out there waiting for you with a menacing, just this beautiful, beautiful speech. And then Ming hits Dale with what I'm going to refer to as a cum ray.
Well, yeah. So that was weird.
Was it? Because for this movie, it's very much like that scene. Did you ever see Barbarella? There's a scene in Barbarella where I think it's Duran Duran, the evil empire guy, puts her in the orgasmatron, and she has to come so hard that it breaks the machine. It's got a very like similar.
That's very Italian. This moment is so great. Like, there's so much in this first little meeting.
Oh yeah.
I could spend the next hour probably talking about it. Like. The thing where he gets the only black character in the film to come up. He's like, I have nothing to offer you because you've blown up our entire lands. But I've nothing to offer you but our loyalty. He's like, okay, well, kill yourself for me. Show that loyalty.
And yes.
Like, I'm sure there's a billion like Refinery 29 articles or Roots article about that. And like this is just colonialism in one thing. But the movie's like, okay, we did our message. Now let's get silly.
I did enjoy that. Although, yes, there's like one black person in the film. I did like that he was heroic as shit.
Absolutely.
He's going to fall on his sword. And I'm like, oh, God, are they really going to do it? Because I haven't seen this movie in so long. I forgot so many details. But he spins around and, you know, he's not within 3 feet of Ming. But still, like, motherfucker went out taking a swing at Hitler. Like, good for you.
Well, and so Ming freezes him with the ring. He's got a ring and he freezes him with him. But you can still see the guy kind of like shaking and moving. And I'm on board with it. Because it's like, I don't know. It just felt like a movie made by a person.
The bird people is like, I will give you the ice heart of Absentia. And then the people of Arborea or whatever, like, fuck you, dude. That was our ice heart. We were going to give it to you. And they kind of like half fight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's delightful because Pierce Brosnan and Brian Blessed. And they're both, I mean, I'm not going to speak for the gay community, but there has to be a like a sub variety that enjoys a Brian Blessed type and a Pierce Brosnan type.
Yeah. Timothy Dalton is.
Timothy Dalton. Yeah. I keep saying Brian. I did that when I was typing it too. I kept fucking putting it because they kind of the same.
Well, because I mean, like, because Timothy Dalton is the worst Bond in my opinion. That's not his fault. I just think his movies are the worst ones.
Oh no, Roger Moore.
Because Roger Moore is great. Roger Moore is absolutely ridiculous. And is people building space stations.
You're giving me ridiculous. Fair enough.
Timothy Dalton is like, I'm fighting gunrunners. And it's like, that's not as fun. But he's fine. And yes, he's very, very handsome in this. Very dashing. And I think particularly for that very Errol Flynn-y role he's supposed to be playing, it fits perfectly.
Oh, he's great. He reminds me of Cary Elwes in Princess Bride, where he's just got that like, you were the exact right age. You got the exact right facial hair. Like you were... But Italian kiss, sir.
What I like is, I don't have down exactly what he says, but Flash kind of mutters something under his breath about how stupid this all is, or like, this, you know, it's a lunatic.
He goes, you're a psycho.
Yeah. And then the floating orb is like, uh-oh, catty bitch alarm, someone's gossiping about you, Ming.
It's truth.
And then, then that's when Ming fires his ray, his jizz ray or whatever.
Bonk ray.
At Dale, because she just like starts vibing real hard. It's just strange because it just happens. And then she's like, did something happen to me? And they're like, yeah, let's not talk about it. Flash is confronted with woman's sexuality. And he's like, let's just move on.
In the original, I don't know if they shot it, but in the original script or one of the script, who gives a shit? There's an anecdote that right there was a cut scene to Ming and her on like a picnic in the 1930s setting. And then I guess they fuck, but like that was like what was going on. He was projecting those thoughts into her mind. Oh. I don't know if those,
I just like it that like it ended with the picnic, like they're on a picnic and she's
I mean, there's nothing more sexually charged than a picnic.
Yeah. But if you're from the 50s, absolutely.
Yeah. Hey honey, let's get ants all up in your guts.
Mm-hmm. Let's ride a canoe and I'll play a ukulele at you.
Thus starts one of the, maybe tied for best action thing in this movie. No, I think it's the best one.
Yeah.
Is the football fight.
Yes.
So Flash takes a swing at someone. He basically sucks at fighting, trying to fight back. Till Dr. Zarkov realizes, these egg things that people are holding look like a football. Flash, here, take this. And then Flash starts housing motherfuckers.
Yeah, just charging them and tackling them. Throwing the ball at them, the thing at them, and clonking them. And the music is doing this all kinds of favors, too. It's very silly.
But
action-y.
We haven't even brought up the fact that Queen does the score and the soundtrack.
I'm not even the biggest Queen fan. Love this song. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Queen in in absentia, almost. Like, I love when they're on soundtracks and shit, but, like, I don't want to listen. Like, there's just an album called by the Kleptones called Night of Hip Opera. Uh-huh. And the Kleptones are this kind of sample outfit. And they take Queen's Night of the Opera and then just put hip hop tracks and mix it together. And it's probably my favorite album ever, which is weird because I don't really like Queen that much. And I don't like hip hop that much. But like they both they're perfect. So like Queen is this Highlander. Fuck yeah. Let's get some Queen up in this. Like this movie. Great. Alex, you want to listen to three Queen songs in a row? I'm gonna fall on my sword.
Some of it might just be overexposure. I've just heard so much in my life that I'm good. Kind of like the Beatles, where it's like, I have nothing against the Beatles, but I'm good on the Beatles right now in my life. But I'm familiar with this song. I've heard reference to this song. I've probably heard the song before, but I was just so on board with it.
And the way that they kind of, I'm gonna be super horny this episode, and I apologize beforehand. The way that they kind of edge with it, where they keep kind of building up, like, doom, 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 and you feel like you're going to get the flash, but you don't. And then they go back to doom, doom, doom. And it's just they want, and then every now and again, you just pay off with that Freddie Mercury hitting that flash. Yeah. Oh, it's so fucking good.
So heroic and great.
Yeah.
And it's a theme song you can remember. It's wonderful.
There's so much, this is so jam packed.
Yeah.
We skipped over who I'm going to call Horny Evil Princess. She's back there looking horny and evil. She's got like an Evil Lyn vibe. And she is Ming's daughter, but I think they fuck because she really throws some.
I'm sorry, it's Aura, not Allura.
Yeah, she throws. Yeah, that's a bit of a He-Man name there. Allura, yeah.
I think it is a He-Man character, actually.
Yeah, she's throwing vibe at her dad. And not like, I love you, daddy vibe, like, I love you, daddy vibe.
She just is vibe.
She is vibe.
Yeah. She's basically, what if you combined Gal Gadot with 80s Coke? And because she has sort of that acting ability and
she's better than Gal Gadot.
Yeah, but yeah, not much.
This is not a hill I'm going to die on, yeah. But like, I feel like sexy evil princess lady at least acted. She's not.
Fair enough. Yeah. But she didn't have to do a whole lot. But
yeah, yeah, just, fair enough. Yeah, yeah, sure.
Wear
sure.
These tight clothes and look horny.
I mean, much like Sam or the guy that plays Flash, where it's like, yeah, I'm not saying he's a good actor. Yeah. I'm saying he acted well in this.
Right.
Give him two paragraphs to say in a row, and I'll probably rethink my position on the subject. Yeah,
but Aura's definitely a, as you come to find, a loose woman who uses her sexuality as a weapon.
Or, you know, she's an enlightened woman that understands that, you know, sexuality can be used.
Oh, no, not for our audience. Our audience is full of
awful Gamergate weirdos. I forgot, we're a bunch of fucking incel Forrest.
Gamergate weirdos. Yeah. What's up, homies?
Hi, Forrest. Yeah. There's a voice announcer that happens here. I don't remember what she says, but it sounds exactly like Princess Amidala from the prequels, where it's just like that, and then you will die, you know, comiti. Like this overly pronounced, weird, I guess she's like an Italian actress. But given that this is...
Was that supposed to be that general?
I think it was. Yeah. Really short background, too. We'd be remiss without this. The reason this movie exists is this sequence. 1973-ish, George Lucas is leaving school. I think he maybe did American Graffiti already. Definitely did THX 1-1, blah, 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 3-8. Mm-hmm. He wanted the rights to Flash Gordon. He could not get the rights because I think Dino De Laurentiis or whoever had it. So he went, fuck it, I'll just do a fucking cut-rate Flash Gordon, and thus Star Wars was born.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars does so well that now the rights to Flash Gordon become hot, and they get $27 million to make this movie. This movie comes out. And then, weirdly enough, starts bouncing back to the prequels later, because this movie is very prequel. So, like, the big stupid costumes, It's so it's an interesting kind of Ouroboros of Star Wars and Flash Gordon.
Well, it's like that with that. Not that long ago, I watched that terrible John Carter from Mars or John Carter of Mars with the dude from Friday Night Lights.
Handsome kind of looks like Jake Gyllenhaal.
You know, like how many things were influenced by this and by Edgar Rice Burroughs stuff? But like most of the, you know, then years later they make the what it's based on and it sucks.
Yeah. So in researching this, I had no idea. Apparently, there's been like two recent Flash Gordon TV shows.
There was I remember the TV show that was like 2007. 2008-ish, yeah. Something like that. I remember seeing ads for it, kind of being like, who gives a shit?
I had no fucking idea that even... I thought this movie came out, and then the next time someone thought about Flash Gordon was this episode.
It's still quite a thing.
Yeah. You know, around here, I don't care when it happens, but let's introduce the Darth Vader of this movie, which, of course, John, you know his name to be... I don't know.
It's Clytus.
Yep, I called him Darth Vader the entire time. Actually, I think at some point I called him Metal Skeletor, but like, it's... Yeah.
Yeah, who's essentially the real villain. Like, he's the one that Flash deals with the most. I mean, Ming's behind everything, but I think Clytus gets way more screen time.
He is in the documentary and seems like a very interesting man.
Peter Weingard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just kind of well-spoken. Just like, he seems like one of those people of like, I would like to have like a five-hour dinner with you and just tell me stuff.
Well, I'm always interested by that kind of thing where you have, like in the Power Rangers movie, like the guy that played Ivan Ooze was some like British stage actor.
Yeah.
And you and like, how do you end up doing this?
Yeah.
What, you know, and so I've always been fascinated by that. And it seemed like the same kind of thing where with like Brian Blessed or whatever, you have these people that feel like they're these, you know, scions of these, of this like British theater thing. And then they're like putting on wings and.
Well, they shot this stuff at that famous London studio.
Elstree?
Yeah. Or Greenwood or Pinewood? Something. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. They shot it at famous London place. And in London could be in Ireland. I just mean they shot it over their land. And I think when you're in over their land, they kind of just put out like a note on a post-it board somewhere. And like, hey, respected actors, would you like to make more money than you make in 2 years putting on fucking wings? And yes, I would very much like that. Thank you. I will go back to the theater and do really important work and plays and try to like press the boundaries of my acting ability. Because now I have enough money to do that because I put on fucking weird kinky wings and a spandex thing. And,
right. They don't have to go to Japan to be in a commercial. They can just do. Well, they go to. So Flash is sentenced to death.
That's right.
Yeah. And again, his headpiece, like his. Whatever he's wearing is just ridiculous.
But Ming?
No. Flash. Like he's that. the metal box with the spikes coming out of it. Oh,
that's right. Yeah, totally. Yeah,
it's so strange.
It's great. Yeah.
I love it.
It looks like it's video game torture logic.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's another Max von Sydow line. I'm not going to keep quoting them, but this one was great. A horny princess is like, they're shedding water for the dead. Like, you know, she's like, what are tears? Mm-hmm. And he goes, it's what they call tears. It's a sign of their weakness.
Yeah.
And he luxuriates over every syllable. Again, I'm not going to speak for ladies in the audience, but there has to be a lot of ladies that are horny as fuck for Max von Sydow.
I imagine at one point there were his wife probably. But I also just love that this movie, this is kind of a trope that I'm getting tired of, is like that this movie is like, no, he's bad. The end. No. He's like, when I, you know, I just toy with the planets. And if they are enough to figure out, if they just want to figure out it's an attack, they're a danger. Otherwise, I just fuck with them and they feel bad and I leave.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a jerk. There's no, like, there's going to be a finite number of resources or some ridiculous thing. It's more like, sorry to keep talking about Marvel, but I feel like it's with the monoculture that it is, it's a particular frame of reference that it's like Loki in the first Avengers. Loki in the first Avengers was basically like, I'm bad.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to fuck some shit up and I want to rule stuff. Okay. Like, that's a great, I can get behind that.
Yeah.
No fuss, no muss.
So the Rebels fake Flash's death. And he gets a gorgeous tombstone.
Uh-huh.
It's inlaid with Flash and it's got color inside of the etching and like Earth human dead. But it looks great. Evil Lynn wakes him up and she rubs him a la, this is a very Rocky Horror Picture Show, by the way. There's a lot of Rocky mm-hmm. Horror Picture Show. And I think maybe just cause he looks like
Rocky.
Is Rocky the handsome muscly
Rocky
guy?
Rocky is the muscly guy. Yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen that movie in a very, very long time.
It's not worth it.
It was fun. It's fun to go with the midnight thing.
I'm sure it is.
I never liked it, even though I went all the time back then, only because it was, But she's rubbing them down and it's delightful. But here's another Max von Sydow speech, even though I said that I wasn't going to keep doing this. But when Flash dies, Dale is going to become one of his wives. Mm-hmm. And they send Dr. Zarkov to get his mind wiped. And he's going to be reprogrammed. And during this reprogramming, you watch his memories getting sucked out. At some point, he remembers Hitler.
Uh-huh.
And Max von Sydow goes, ah, Hitler. Now he showed promise.
Well, that's Clytus, not
oh, no, there's Clytus. Yeah, I'm sorry.
But yeah, no, that's great. And it's just like, it's just a dumb throwaway gag.
It's
and
so stupid.
That whole sequence, also, which going back to before we get into that real quick, when Aura revives Flash, she has worked it out with the executioner. To like
yeah,
give yeah. Flash just like knockout drugs.
Oh
like
yeah, she went to the bone zone with them. Yeah,
because they had a thing. But when he revives Flash, like he sells using that injector gun. He's really really overacts, putting the thing on the arm and pressing the button like it's the hardest thing he's ever done.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I don't think
I paid attention to that part.
That whole scene, the mind wipe thing, is very much like a Zardoz.
Yeah.
Bizarre. Like we don't have the technology to make this really fantastical, so we're just gonna do some quick cuts and weird juxtapositions of things.
Yeah, they show his wife dying.
Yeah,
at one point,
and like and fast motion. Yeah, it's just
it's so strange.
It's a mind fuck of a mind fuck. It's very bizarre, and I loved it. I loved how just for as strange and campy as everything was on this one level, like this was part of it, but it was also separate from it. Like it was a separate kind of bizarre thing. And I could watch a lot more of that, oddly enough, in this movie. Like, if they had another scene of wiping a mind, I'd be on board with it, just to see what they were going to come up with.
Yeah. The other part of the, this is out of order, but let's just talk about it since we're talking about that mind wipe. In a few scenes, we're going to find out that his mind isn't actually wiped. And his reasoning behind how his mind didn't get wiped is like, all I did was, I thought about Shakespeare, Bach, Beethoven, hell, even some of the Beatles songs, and I kept my mind strong. Oh. Yeah,
it,
of course.
It doesn't make any sense, but the way this movie works, you're like, absolutely, yep. Yeah. He's like, it armored my mind somehow.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because I think about so many movies that we've watched that are so stupid. Jupiter Ascending, let's go with that. That if Jupiter Ascending was done like this movie, I'd be so much more on board with that. You have a half werewolf spaceman that's roller skating or rollerblading in the sky. But you make it this more like serious, whatever. But if they made that more like Speed Racer, which I think is much closer to this,
yes,
it'd be a lot more fun.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're very much correct.
And that's sort of my thing. Why I keep bringing up like Marvel stuff is that like this is a goofy comic book movie.
Yeah,
it's something that I think is made with love, but also is a little, I mean, you could argue it's a little condescending towards it.
Like the roofies I gave you.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But that it is like, it comes from a good place. It's like, well, I love this stuff, but I know it's silly.
No, not like the roofies I gave you.
Yeah. I don't love that stuff. But I think the tone of this movie, when stuff like that happens,
yeah,
when you have that, no, I was able to protect my mind by thinking about Beale's lyrics. It's absolutely you were.
No, it is so perfectly, like the tone is so perfectly on point. At no point does it doesn't even sway. Like at no point does it get too serious or too campy. It is the exact, like, no, we are taking this in heavy finger quotes seriously.
Yeah.
And it's perfect. We get a flying lesson with Evil Horny and Flash, where they're in a spaceship, a little scooter spaceship kind of thing. Not scooter, but like tiny, you know, 1-2 person thing. And she is just dripping horny for him.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my question. Multiple questions, but the main one. Do they fuck?
No.
Why not?
Because Flash is too good for that.
Really? Because, well, I mean, again, he doesn't have a backstory. He's a professional athlete.
Yeah.
It's not like they're known for being the most chaste people on the planet. No,
but for the purposes of in this universe, absolutely he is.
Yeah.
He wears a shirt with his name on it.
And, it's true.
He doesn't have sex. He also, like, and again, not to I mean, going out of order, whatever. Like, he's so repressed that, like, like when he reunites with Dale later and he's like, save it for our kids. Like, that's how he proposes marriage. Like, they've known each other for 5 minutes and like, maybe have hugged once, but he's like, we're getting married now. Then we can have sex.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's true. I mean, also, we don't know when this takes place. I mean, this could be in the 1950s. Yeah. I don't know when the Jets were founded.
Well, the Ringer t-shirts give more of a...
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's in, like, a station wagon-y thing. Yeah. All right. So I was trying to, like, backdate it enough to, like, make his outfit make sense. Now, here is one of the best... Okay, but anyway, I need to set it up properly. Dale is in Ming's bedroom with servants, and she gets fed, like, kind of this ambrosia-type stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, what's it called? Oh, it has no name. And essentially, she's just sitting there getting hammered. There's a telepathy thing. We don't have to go into it. We've been going for an hour already. This is the important part. Ming is going to his bedroom to go after Dale. Ming has this beautiful red outfit with pentagrams on his titties. Just square over his mad tits.
Yeah.
Just these stars on his titties. And it's an outfit to fuck. I mean, that is an outfit to fuck. He is up there. I mean, that is some Hefner level. Like, just, he's going out to the grotto and he's going to get himself some clap.
Well, what I love is so she manages to escape because she feeds the ambrosia to some
slave lady. Yeah. Lady. It's our enslaved lady.
They swap places. And in her escape, she's fighting a lot of his henchmen who kind of look like the bad guys from Ralph Bashke's Wizards. They have the kind of like...
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, my God. Dude, I didn't even write down... Thank you. I could not figure out what the fuck that was reminding me of. Yeah. And I was like, I should ask John. But I'm like, no. We have enough to talk about. I can't be bothered by, hey, John, what's that one thing that I can't describe? Well, my initial thought
was those, like, shy guys from Mario 2.
No. It is exactly. But, thank you.
Yes. So she's escaping, shooting stuff. This is ostensibly a travel agent, but she's able to, like, fight away. But then she does this one, like, one-armed cartwheel and shoots a guy. That makes no sense. It's never called back again, but it's wonderful that it
happens.
This
is the power level I was talking about before, where out of nowhere, she fucking... What? So she has a girl fight earlier. Later she has a girl fight. But this scene, she's doing flips. She's murdering people left and right. Like, she is on a fucking killing spree.
Yeah.
I literally wrote OMG. I've never written OMG in my life.
All right.
3D glasses room.
3D glasses room.
Where they go into, where the guys have 3D glasses welded onto their face.
The security center, whatever.
I've never seen a cooler room in my life.
I got so excited. Yeah, the set designs in this are so great. And the way it's shot also, they make sure you see, you understand, like, we're in this giant set. We paid a lot of money for this set. Yeah. Please look at this set.
But in that 3D room, do you know who the main 3D glasses guy is?
Brian Eno.
No.
No, who?
I don't know his name, but it's the guy that played Lobot. From The Empire Strikes Back, who also had a weird head covering. He's the one that looked like he was wearing like headphones.
I know Lobot. I go way back.
I'm talking to the audience as well as you, John.
Our audience knows Lobot.
I go
way back.
I don't mean to pull back the veil, but sometimes I say things to you that I know you understand.
No, you don't.
In means of talking to the audience.
Oh.
No, let's just be trying to cover up for when I say stupid shit. I've never tried to talk to you assholes.
Audience, you know who Lobot is, right? Yeah, see? The audience knows.
No, you fucking nerds.
God damn it.
You couldn't even score with evil princess.
That's true. The,
Audience, I just want you to know that I actually covered my hand. It covered my mouth with my hand while talking to the microphone.
You lied to me? That wasn't them?
I just mean from a perspective of a man trying to do like a funny voice to pretend to be the audience. I could just lower my voice instead of covering the thing that I need my mouth. You need the sound waves to go into the microphone. What right. I did was cover that because I'm the world's biggest dummy.
But that creates aesthetic distance. So it sounds like it's not directly into the microphone.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So anyway, Alex proves himself to be the world's biggest dummy, and we are in the arborist place.
Yeah, so Aura takes him to the arborist place because she and Timothy Dalton are lovers.
Yes.
He's her main jam, but she's around the side. And I think he's into that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think based only on his mustache, he likes being cucked.
It's a hot wife scenario.
Yeah. So again, we've been going for a while, so let's just kind of skip through this a little bit. A sequence of events happens. Flash gets stuck in a fucking jail under the swamp. Oh no. He gets fake escaped, and all this was a way for Timothy Dalton to test him in the Tree of Pain, or whatever the hell it was called, that we saw this this initiation ritual earlier, which essentially you shove your hand into a tree. There's a stinger kind of thing in there.
Yes.
If it stings you, you die.
Well, you go insane.
That's right.
And with pray for death.
The sting of the Gamjabar.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a lot of Dune in this.
Yes.
And then there's this dick measuring contest between arborist guy, Prince Byron.
Baron.
Close enough. Why'd you cry? I was so close to having something right. Just let me have a win, John.
Never.
John and Alex hate stuff. Alex will never post his W's.
It is Baron. B-A-R-I-B-A-R-I-N.
No, when you corrected me, I believed you.
But it's
I
was like,
just,
it's,
I just thought I got something
but
right.
But see, I thought it was like spelled like Baron, like B-A-R-O-N.
So no.
This is me compromising. That you were almost right. Closer than you initially thought you were.
No, I initially thought I was 100% right. And then you went and fucking verbally cucked me to the audience.
Okay, but in between.
You treated me like Prince Biro Pen.
That's actually more right. That's the rightest one yet.
I think they pronounce it Biro. Anyway, there's a dick mentoring contest, and it's him and Flash. And Flash. Savior of the universe. He's the one. Mm-hmm. Save every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
That's Flash. That's okay. Now we're on the same page. They're sticking their hands
Flash.
In. So Flash fakes being poked by the Gamjabar because mm-hmm. fear is, in fact, the mind killer. It's the little death. And it's a trick. And he beats the shit out of a Biro pen. And it's good.
That is good. Because he goes to escape into the swamp, and he like falls in the swamp, and this bizarre
that's right
thing like he tries to catch him, which is it just inflates around him and has all these arms, and it's like poking at him and poking at itself as well.
Then the bird people show up, and they both get taken to Birdland.
Right, but before that happens, Timothy Dalton saves him
from the
whatever monster it is, just so he can kill him himself.
Yes,
and that's when the bird people show up and take him.
Now this is during this we're cutting back and forth to Horny Evil, Princess Horny Evil. Sorry, is strapped to a table and getting whipped.
Yes, because they've figured out that she left with a pilot and came back alone. It has come to their attention that the Flash has escaped. The Flash, yeah. A Flash,
and they're trying to get information out of her, and she's not getting. Chiron, what's the Darth Vader's
Clytus.
Name? Clytus. Like, I'll go get the boar worms.
We never see them, which I like. No, the boar worms. You never see the boar worms.
No, they cut, and then she breaks under questioning off camera.
Yeah.
Which is whatever. Yeah.
But I like that. I like that a lot more than this, you know, labored scene of seeing the boar worms happen and her breaking under questioning.
Yeah.
So, like, this movie's almost 2 hours. And they're like, yeah, it's boar worms. You get it.
We rejoin Timothy Dalton and Flash in the Bird City. And it's decided they're going to fight to the death on a little circular platform surrounded by background painting.
Right, because this is when you get is this when you get the Gordon's alive?
Yes.
Yeah, because it's revealed to
Voltan
that the Flash did survive, and their bird people brought them with with Baron, and Baron and Voltan don't like each other, and there's a law that basically, Ming's law is basically that, like, they're supposed to fight. I forget what the actual law is, but it's Baron is like, no, yeah. in order you can't just kill us. We have to have trial by combat, and I pick Flash to fight.
Yes,
and so, correct. So Baron is going to fight Flash.
Anybody that's going to watch this movie after we've talked about it, watch how fucking swag Timothy Dalton walks out on the plank that's going to go to the little platform. Mm-hmm. So the plank is still moving. It hasn't connected yet. So this is a prop that's moving outwards. And Timothy Dalton just big dick, like Vince McMahon walks onto the plank before it even hits there. It is the swaggiest. I've never used the term swag. It's the only way I could describe it. Yeah. The swaggiest walk that's ever happened. Sorry, please continue.
But no, it's this circle in the center, this pedestal, giant pedestal thing that they're on, that the Voltan can control to make it like dip back and forth. And then eventually like spikes come out, stuff like that. All the while they're fighting each other with whips.
Yes.
That is brutal as hell. Yeah. Like, it's not like a sword fight or something like that. They're just whipping each other, trying to get someone to fall off because there's just an abyss below them. But I was so shocked that it was just whips.
Yeah. So what's great about it, so one of the effects things I talked about in the documentary is those spikes, they're actual spikes. Mm-hmm. But they're blown up by air bladders underneath. So if they fall on them, it'll just get pushed back down.
Really? Yeah. That doesn't seem likely.
No, it doesn't seem very smart. I mean, I'm sure it's made out of some kind of like light plastic or whatever. But it'd be like, the way to describe it is like, oh, this was a miracle they didn't die. Yeah. Or at least get an eye poked out.
Yeah.
So Flash defeats him, but then saves his life and says, basically, hey, fuck you. Why don't we all just try to beat Ming? Why mm-hmm. are we killing each other? And Voltan is convinced. I mean, there's more to it than that. But
right.
During this, Kyber Crystal, Darth Vader himself shows up and is killed very quickly.
Yes.
In a kind of great death scene.
Absolutely great death scene. Well, what I love is on his way there, they're in the ship.
Oh, yeah, the nap time.
And the ships look great, yeah. And they're just like, we got to tell Cladis. They just press a button, and he's got like a Murphy bed that like pops up. Like, Cladis, wake up. He's like, I'm not ready to put my shoes on yet.
Yeah.
Put me back to sleep and I'll wake up when we get there.
That's so good. Yeah. So he gets thrown on the spikes and then his face kind of melts and his eyeballs fall out. Yeah,
inexplicably. Like, because they just, yeah, he.
Well, they
Flash murders him.
They somewhat established weird melty thing earlier because General Russian lady, mm-hmm. when she dies, she turns into just black goo. Mm. I mean, I think that happens after this, but who cares? Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, when he flips him over, he lands on the spikes, and yeah, his eyes and like tongue yeah, just tongue like dissolve out of his face.
It's quite gross. Brian Blessed just gets a whole bunch of just great, just, you know, take to the air, my Hulk people, mm-hmm. you know, just this great, he's so good. I wish there was a movie where it's just him and Max von Sydow. It like just Brian Blessed saying big, bombastic stuff, and Max von Sydow saying smooth evil stuff, and that's yeah. it. An hour and a half of them, like My Dinner with Andre, but just those
them,
two.
Them trying to find a parking place.
Yeah.
It'd be great. But the the Hawkman and everyone is gonna attack the Ming's city, Mingo City, whatever. And like all the Birdman stuff is really bad. It's very, I mean, like effects wise, it's really unfortunate.
I think it's kind of awesome, but yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah. Cause particularly when they're accosting this ship, there's a rocket. Cause the evil general lady Kala, dispatches this war rocket to kill Flash. Cause the Ming's wedding is going on, his wedding to Dale. They announce like, hey, don't worry about it. We're putting up the shields. Don't worry about it. The wedding's happening.
Yeah.
And so the rocket's going to come get them. And the attack on the rocket, I think, is very corny just because you have, it's always kind of the same slow zoom in to the Hawk guys.
Yeah.
And it just kind of gets.
And them getting shot and falling out. Yeah. Here's a question of the Hawk guys, though. And this is much more than just this movie. This is every movie with humans with wings involved. Are they just planking the whole time? Because they fly with their feet mm-hmm. are level with their torso. Which is not the way human bodies work.
Right.
And they're basically humans with wings. Mm-hmm. So are they just planking to look cool, or should they be at like a full?
Well, I mean, you know, these guys are at least a little bit more of an angle, but I think it's the idea is that they have extra muscles that make their bodies able to do that.
All right, so they're planking, so they just got basically. Sick abs. Yeah. That's where Brian Blessed is such a. He's got that that you know barrel chest. That's mm-hmm. all ab all muscles abs. to keep his back legs
it's
up.
Disgusting. Yeah, to take off your shirt.
Yeah, he's got those back abs that just look wrong.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, it's all abs.
Another small question is, so Flash is flying up there, flying blind on a cycle, which is great, mm-hmm. but, why do they got rocket cycles? They're bird people.
You know, in case you have guests.
Yeah, that's stupid. Yeah. Fuck you, bird people. Fuck this movie. It's stupid. We shouldn't watch it. So the big battle, the kind of crux of it is Flash is going to kill himself. He's going to hitakiri himself, suicide bomb. Into the lightning shield.
Yes, because all the while this is happening, the Ming is dragging the Earth, dragging the moon into the Earth.
Oh, I forgot their stakes.
Yeah.
It's the movie's so fun anyway. I've kind of forgot.
Yeah, I mean, there's the basic stakes of like, let's rescue the princess, whatever. But yeah, they need to stop his evil laser from dragging the moon into the Earth.
Yes. So Flash is going to, suicide into the thing. We're cutting back and forth to Voltan and Timothy Dalton inside of the evil hideout to try to turn the lightning thing off. And I mean, you know, surprise, surprise, he turns the fucking thing off.
Mm-hmm.
Voltan announces, let this forever known as Flash Gordon Day, which is one of the, just.
Hurry
just,
for Brian Blessed.
If there has to be a YouTube cut, it's just all Brian Blessed
lines.
Oh,
I'm sure. Yeah.
They're so great.
An AMG.
There's a wonderful scene where they cut back to the 3D glasses room.
Yeah. So when you say the 3D glass room, it's these rows of bald white dudes that have these giant glasses on that have the graphics like painted on them. Like
yes.
You can kind of see, but the idea is that they basically have like computers that they're just looking right into.
That's what 3D glasses are. You know, yeah, I think it's pretty clear. The
same. It's Google Glass.
I think when I said 3D glasses, they all thought, oh, this is a room of dystopian bald white men with mm-hmm. Things painted on their face. Yeah. Yeah.
That everyone knows who they are.
That's right. We do.
Hey, thanks, Forrest.
Way to go. The 3D glasses. So at one point, the 3D glasses are ripped off and just wires start popping out of their eye sockets.
And it's completely like, because so I don't remember what the impetus for that was, like that can control or something like that. But yeah, Timothy Dalton goes to grab one of them and it just pulls out the guy's eyeballs.
Yeah, so good. They're cutting back and forth to the wedding. Ming is getting married to Dale. And I would like to read you the vows.
Yes, please do.
This is the priest giving the vows. And I probably didn't get this exactly right, but let's just go with it. Do you take her as the queen of the hour?
I do.
To use her as you will. Not to blast her into space until such time as you grow weary of her. Fucking the blaster into space. I was watching last night here and like after the time I should be uproariously laughing and I barked laughter.
Uh-huh.
Blast her into space.
What's great is that it's either because what does he call her? The wife of the hour or something?
Yeah,
the wife
of the hour.
So it seems like this is something that has happened before.
Oh, yeah.
Is him suggesting not blasting her off into space and then Ming giving him an evil look. Is that a built-in part of the ceremony or was the guy just freeballing it?
Oh, no, no. That's improv, baby. He's yes-ending.
Because either way is hilarious. They're like, now's the part where I look like, ha, ha, ha.
And in a, I'm glad it happened because I didn't feel like sitting through a sword fight at this time bit of action. Flash flies his rocket through the side of the building, through a vaginal canal, and then fucks Ming with a rocket. Just stabs full inhales him.
Yeah, because the rocket has a point at the end of it for some reason.
Yes. And as all evil dictators do, Ming the Merciless, the conqueror of worlds, turns into a rainbow and falls into his ring.
Yes. Well, because he pulls himself off the spear.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm already just like, that rules that it's kind of, he just happenstance manages to beat the bad guy.
Yeah.
But Ming's still alive and he's kind of wandering around, Flash, stumbling around. Flash comes out with a sword and is like, oh, now it's your time's over. And I'm like, oh, is this going to be like, you know, he's going to fight a disabled or a hobbled Ming? That's kind of not that exciting. But then Ming just runs away. He shoots himself with his own ring. And I was like, I don't know if you've ever seen that gif of the old He-Man cartoon where Skeletor like walks through a magic mirror and then reaches back through and punches the mirror so it breaks.
Oh, that's funny.
But yeah, it's basically just that. So he just...
Oh, is that what... Oh, you know what? I didn't realize that's what happened. Okay.
Yeah. He shoots himself with his own ring to teleport away because then his ring falls to the ground.
Oh, I don't think I put that together. Okay. Yeah. That does make sense in that. So the flying drone comes in and congratulates him, and another delightful fisheye lens shot. Yeah. And Flash just jumps directly in the camera, goes, yeah! And apparently ad-libbed.
Yeah, they did not know how to end that scene. But I also just like that the robot comes in and is like, congratulations, gives the ending scroll of the game, which is congratulations. Yeah. The world is now saved. Thank you, Flash.
And Dale, being a little saucy, goes, he's like, hey, you know, we can all hang out here if you want. And she goes, I'm a New York City girl. It's a little too quiet around here for me. I want to go back and possibly be raped and murdered because it's the 1980s in New York.
I want a bad hot dog.
Yeah. Why would I want to rule over the universe?
Yeah. Just they're simple people.
Remember the hawk people spelled out Flash?
Yes. At the end when they're flying away, because everyone's like pointing, like, look at that, something astonishing. It's the hawk people flying away. And they just form the words thanks. And then the word Flash. It's great.
Ming's ring gets picked up by a black gloved hand.
Dun, dun, dun.
Because apparently they had everybody signed up for sequels. Cletus, the Darth Vader, Cletus, whatever. The actor, where I can't think of his name, Wingard. Apparently he was signed up. Like, everybody thought it was going to happen, but it, you know, obviously it bombed. But, like, I think mostly it's because Sam Jones or whatever just didn't get along. And then De Laurentiis died, and thus ends the Flash Gordon serial movies.
Yeah,
made this one.
It did good other places. It did good in foreign markets. Here, part of the reason they say it perhaps didn't do so well is that Sam, like, by being not really attached to the movie anymore, didn't go do any marketing for it.
Yeah.
That he wasn't allowed to, essentially. So yeah, because I think, and it got actually like pretty decent reviews overall. I know Ebert gave it 3 stars. It's basically the same thing. It's like, yeah, is this dumb? Hell yeah. Is it fun? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's some behind the scenes stuff maybe went with that. And I haven't watched that documentary yet. I'm curious about it. Audience, if somehow you're fans of the show. So, listening to two people just cope with abject failure and disappointment, that documentary sounds like it's full of that. So
yeah, sure. I mean, though, to be fair, in that documentary, like, Sam Jones, his fans rally around him and actually help him out a little bit. Like, yeah. I mean, they don't say it on the show, but, like, I bet his fans, like, share the show on Twitter. They probably talk about it on Facebook. They introduce the show, in this case, Flash Gordon, to a new generation of fans. So, I mean, I'm not hinting at anything here. Like, at all. Like, I'm not saying that real fans that are listening right now would share and rate and review and help out. I wouldn't do that at all.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah. Here's one small thing I didn't cover. There's a cameo in this. At the airfield, when Flash and Dale are leaving, the guy loading the luggage is Robbie Coltrane.
Oh, dang. We got a double Coltrane.
Yes. We had 2 weeks in a row of Coltrane. Yes.
Wow. I did not notice that.
Yes. That's it. Flash Gordon. I think it is abundantly obvious. I couldn't recommend this. Well, I mean, I could recommend this movie more, but, like, you know, just it's a fucking delight.
It's so much fun. Yeah. I was really trepidatious going into it, basically, you know, right after Krull. And I'd seen, like, bits and pieces of it before and kind of been like, you know, oh, it looks pretty, but whatever. But I had a blast.
Yeah. Super fun.
Yeah.
Good. So everybody go watch it. I have, in our John and Alex recommend stuff section, because we're running long, I'm not going to give some stupid, thing. I have nothing to recommend. John, you got anything? last time I said, don't watch Loki was my recommendation. Since we're already well over an hour, I'll just cede it to you. Cause you probably watched the movie you like recently.
So over the past weekend, I saw both, the producers, Mel Brooks's first movie with Gene Wilder and Zero Mostel. Still holds up, hilarious, love it. And Cinema Paradiso, which is a very sweet Italian film about loving the movies, going to the movies, and being Italian.
Oh, I feel like I saw it. That's old, right?
It's like 1990 is when it came out.
Yeah, I saw that when I was in, like, that was the height of my pretentious movie phase.
It was the first movie I remember seeing on, like, Cinemax, where I went, like, wait, foreign films aren't just softcore porn?
Yeah.
Because that's the only time I would see it was, like, late at night on Cinemax. It'd be some, like, a German movie called, like, Boobin and Ice Cream or something.
Yeah.
And
it's one of
the I remember trying to watch this because, like, there's probably going to be boobs in this and then actually enjoying the movie. But it's a sweet, sweet little film.
Yes. I vaguely remember it. Then I probably loved it. So I recommend it too.
Great score by Ennio Morricone as well.
So Alex's recommend is Cinema Paradiso.
Yeah.
Wholly original thought. All right. So John, to close out our impromptu 3-episode run of weird movies you haven't seen.
Sort of fantasy films.
Yeah. Just 80s weird shit. We are going to watch a movie that I also haven't seen. until I start watching and go, oh shit, I know every beat of this movie. I've seen it like 15 times. We're watching what?
Lady Hawk.
Lady Hawk.
It's about Hawk that's a lady, or vice versa.
Yes, and it stars Rutger Hauer.
Yes.
Michelle
Pfeiffer.
No, who's the lead?
Matthew Broderick.
Matthew Broderick. Literally remembered his name immediately earlier and then completely flaked on it. Matthew Broderick, yes. And people remember it well. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I know that I have never seen it.
Yeah.
I think it's something that I've seen like maybe the first 5 minutes of. Something which talking about going to see The Producers, that was a movie I watched with my family a ton.
Yeah.
Growing up, which is weird to watch it now and be like, that's a strange thing to show to a child. Or like being 10 years old and watching On Golden Pond and not remembering any, you know, being like, oh, yeah. He said poop in this one scene. Why am I watching this? I'm 8. This was a movie that I probably started and fell asleep during.
Yeah.
Like all those other ones was probably like, yeah, I watched the first 5 minutes and then fell asleep.
When I was a kid, my parents only made us watch Springtime for Hitler.
Oh,
as a, yeah.
Just
favorite
that
movie
part.
In our house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No. There's, oh yeah. There's a certain group of people that have some movies that you guys don't know about. Just don't even worry about. Just, you know, I'm just saying,
there's a great documentary about them called 8mm.
Yeah. When the fourth right comes, I just, you know, I'm just let you in on a little bit. Anyway. Make America Hail Ming. That's it. Yeah. So we're
hot
gonna
hail Ming.
Hot Hail Ming. Watch Lady Hawk for next time. Share the show. Tell your friends. Do the things that would help mm-hmm. other people listen to it because that'd be good.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then reach out, say hi. Suggest stuff to watch.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Add Jaws Pod on Twitter. John Alex 8 stuff on Facebook.
That'll do.
Yes. And reach out and touch faith.
Bye-bye.
Bye.